Welcome back. As I said, it's an avalanche of information every day. Just things are becoming more apparent all the time. The plan, the implementation therein, and other things as well. I have a very interesting video I want to just mention quickly, and it says, "Don't miss this." It's near the top of headlines. Malcolm X and Yuri Bezmenov, how liberals use blacks and how PSYOPs have completely demoralized America. Yuri Bezmenov was the highest ranking defector from the Soviet KGB that ever came over here, and he just lays it out. A lot of his videos, Bezmenov, are on YouTube, and each one of them is worth looking at and learning from. Very interesting. All right, let's get down to our section on coronavirus. We've got just a lot of information here pouring in. As I mentioned, Mayor Garcetti warns residents of Los Angeles that a new coronavirus stay-home order is on the table. He'll make a decision within a week, I think, is what he said. Although they also report, NBC News, that daily deaths from coronavirus are falling in the U.S. The number of cases continues to skyrocket. 3 million cases now, and the third million, we had 2 million just 28 days ago. It just took 28 days to add another million officially confirmed coronavirus cases in L.A. CNN reports that scientists are warning that brain damage, permanent brain damage, at least transiently permanent brain damage, could be linked to coronavirus infection. So they're still studying, they're still learning about this virus, apparently, if you can believe what you read in these stories. 27-year-old millennial woman becomes infected, sounds the alarm as cases rise. She said the coronavirus is not a joke. Please pay attention. The interesting video as well. What else do we have here? 53% of all U.S. restaurants are now gone forever. That's from a National Restaurant Association professional organization. All casualties of the great 2020 pandemic. Donald Trump says he disagrees with Anthony Fauci on the coronavirus issue in the U.S. Fauci says the U.S. public must guard against false complacency regarding the pandemic. So I don't think, as I said, I think last night, you'll see Fauci on any White House coronavirus updates anytime soon. But that's enough. Let's jump right off this and get on board with Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D., who is back tonight. All right, Henry, another table full. Have at it.
Yeah, well, it was a record day. There were more cases today than recorded history. I don't know what you read about falling death rates, but that's Trump's line. That's nonsense. The deaths are going up. They're over 1,000 a day. So the story is over.
Yeah. Hold on.
Over the holidays it was down. Okay. It was up yesterday and it's higher today than it was yesterday.
It was an NBC story and they're behind the curve. And what we're looking for here for all of you listening is the next week or two.
Well, I just heard them say over 1,000 today. That was on MSNBC. They said that 10 minutes ago. So.
Good. So, all right. They're halfway up on it. All right. This is going to get worse in the next 2 weeks, as Henry's been saying. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's getting worse this week already. I had said yesterday that I thought we'd hit 60,000 new cases, and we did hit 60,000 new cases today. And the task force had a meeting today, and Trump is talking about opening up the schools. And before I get to those stories, I thought it would be useful, just so your listeners could get a sense as to how bad things are in the U.S. today. And like I said, here are the totals. As you know, I've been tallying each state on what their official reports are. And I just wanted to read the list of the states that reported 400 or more new cases today. And here's a rundown. It'll take a little while. There's 32 of them. But let me just go through who they are and how much they were. And so your listeners have an idea. It's not just one or two states. It's not just the South. It's not just the Southwest. It's the entire country. And here's a rundown. New York, 692. Pennsylvania, 849. California, 8,548. Michigan, 651. Illinois, well, I got Illinois for over 3,000. That's because they finally updated their website. Okay. Florida, 10,144. Louisiana, 1,888. Texas, 9,979. Georgia, 3,420. Maryland, 465. Ohio, 1,277. Washington, 521. Indiana, 437. Colorado, 452. Virginia, 635. Tennessee, 2,472. North Carolina, 1,435. Missouri, 755. Arizona, 3,520. Alabama, 1,177. Mississippi, 674. Wisconsin, 598. South Carolina, 1,557. Nevada, 516. Utah, 722. Iowa, 412. Kentucky, 400. Minnesota, 456. Kansas, 717. Oklahoma, 673. Arkansas, 734. Idaho, 430. That's 32 states had at least 400 cases today. I mean, I remember when SARS had their big outbreak, and Amoy Gardens, that was the big story. Remember a big apartment complex?
Oh, yeah.
They had over... Yep. They had over 300 cases. Mm-hmm. That was a very, very big deal. We've got 32 states that reported more than that today. Some of them reported 10 times that today. And actually, they reported 30 times that today. There were over 10,000 cases in Florida alone. So the virus is out of control in the U.S. It's uniquely out of control in the U.S.
Well said.
There are graphs that basically show the U.S. versus all of Europe. And Europe was slightly ahead of the U.S. and the cases went up, and they went up to about the same level. And then, Europe, you know, everybody was wearing masks. They shut things down. They shut things down tight. They held it down until the counts went down. And they had a peak, and then it went down, and now it's near baseline. There's countries that are reporting, you know, 10 or few cases, per day. And in the U.S., it went down a little bit. It flattened the curve. The curve got flat, but it got flat very high. It wasn't that far from the peak, and it was flat, and it got down to about 20,000 cases a day, and that's where it kind of stayed. And then it dipped a little bit, and then it just started to go up, and it started to go up when the states ignored the CDC's guidelines on what types of reductionists they needed to start lifting the lockdown. And they needed to go, I don't remember, it was 12 or 14 days in a row with declining cases. Virtually no states met that criteria. They just looked at the calendar. Trump said, we got to get the economy rolling. Let's go. And they just started lifting the lockdown. And Trump went out to Arizona. And there was a mask company. I don't know if it was 3M, but whatever. No, it was Honeywell, I think. Anyway, he went to Arizona. Arizona was locked down. He said, you don't need to lock down. They took the lockdown off. Arizona now is the worst state in the country. Actually, it's the worst area in the world. They have a positive rate. They have a positive rate of 24%. I think it got about 25% now. So it's 25%. Of the tests they run come back positive. The CDC says you should be running around 3 to 5%. If you're above that, you're not doing enough testing. You really don't know what's going on. They're at 25%. They have the highest per capita rate in the world right now. They're above what New York was when things got really bad in New York. They're basically Tucson is sending out patients to San Diego, California, Las Vegas, Nevada, and Albuquerque, New Mexico. They're sending their patients out of state because they have no beds. They have no personnel. And Phoenix is totally out of control. And that was the first one that Trump said, looks good to me. Why do you have this lockdown? We got to get the economy rolling. No, the economy's rolling if selling test equipment. But other than that, the numbers are going up in Arizona. They don't know when they're going to stop going up. And they're in very deep trouble. Their deaths are starting to go up now. The deaths are starting to go up in California. California had over 100 deaths yesterday and 100 deaths today. Actually, I think today it was getting... Yeah, today it got up to 145. Yesterday was 113. Today was 145. Texas set a record for deaths. They got up to 98 today. And I don't know, New Jersey has still got leftovers. New Jersey's reported 142 deaths today for some reason. They actually reported 52 yesterday. So they I don't know if they delayed reporting them, but they're reporting higher levels on the deaths. And that's the state of affairs. That's the reality in the United States. Trump says that we're in a good place, quote unquote. That's how he viewed the current situation in the U.S. And that it's time to get all the schools open. And so the task force had a press conference today. And it was pathetic. That's about the best you could say for that. They tried to put a spin on it. They said, it looks like the curve is starting to flatten on the percent positive, starting to flatten at 24%. I mean, the only reason it's flattening is the holiday. You know, the holiday puts all kind of fluctuations in. So the last couple of days, it got a little bit. It wasn't going up quite as dramatically as it was last week. So they're saying, it looks like it's flattening. They're relying upon two data points over the holiday. It's the basis of their flattening. And then they went and they put up some graphs, and they, the graphs, they look like a hockey stick. They're going straight up. And they're saying, well, this, this city's higher, but these other ones aren't quite as bad. Yeah. And they really couldn't show anything. They were trying to cherry pick the data. They really had no good data, no mm-hmm. positive data, you know, no encouraging data. It was all bad. They went and they concentrated on the three states with the highest levels. I think they did Arizona and Florida and California, I think. Maybe Texas. Maybe they did all four. I'm not sure. But they just put up a bunch of graphs and showed the curves. And they also showed the dramatic increases in cases. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of did some hand waving and said, well, you know, all these states, they all started to go up at once. You know, initially they started taking off the restrictions and things seemed to be kind of level there for a little while. And then all of a sudden they all started going up. And, we're going to have to look into that. We're going to have to try to figure out why they all started going up. And right. All I got to do is look at a calendar and see when Memorial Day was. I mean, they all started going up after Memorial Day.
Not exactly not rocket mystery. Science, is it? No.
It's not a mystery. It's not, you know, it's a calendar check. I mean, science, most scientists know that everything is described by two parameters, time and place. And all I got to do is look at the place, which are these southern states, and look at the time, uh-huh. Memorial Day, and then look right. at the cases 3 or 4 weeks after that. And that's, it all fits together. It's not rocket science, as you said. And so they did kind of some hand waving on, you know, well, it looks like there may be a little bit of flattening, which is based upon, you know, the sites being closed on the holiday weekend and testing being slightly different over the holidays because they weren't necessarily testing at all the same sites. And so they got some numbers out, it was a little bit lower than it did 2 days ago or something. And it's just nonsense. I mean, like I said, the numbers came in all day after their report, and today are the highest numbers that have ever been recorded. So it's worse today than ever before. And they're talking about flattening. Nobody knows what they're talking about. And that was kind of the data part. And then Betsy DeVos comes up and she's going to say, well, yeah. You know, we've got to get all of the schools fully opened. And, you know, there was this one school district, I think in Fairfax, Virginia, they uh-huh. went and they got a plan and they're planning on having, you know, in class for part of the time for the students and online for part of the time. And, you know, that's not good enough. You they have to be fully open, everybody going to class 5 days a week. but then she kind of qualifies it and says, and, you know, it's up to each local district on exactly how they're going to implement this. Okay. So they're not offering any financial assistance to come up with this plan. They're saying, you do the plan, you make sure that everybody goes to school. And then Trump comes out and says, well, you know, as far as foreign students are concerned, that came here to go to college, you know, if they don't go to class, they're going to get deported. They're here to go to school, and that means they have to go to classes. They can't just take it online, even though...
Henry, is someone advising him, or is he just ad-libbing this stuff?
He is crazy. He is absolutely batshit nuts. The guy doesn't have no idea what he's doing. He's trying to exercise his power. He comes in and says, well, you know, there's these four countries in Europe. They opened up their school. It's without any problems. Mm-hmm. One of the countries reported 9 cases today. The other one reported 11 cases today. One of them reported 200 cases today, and one of them reported 400 cases today. We reported 60,000 today.
Wow.
Yeah, you can have the school open if you don't have any virus. If you've got 60,000 cases per day, you're going to have people starting on day one with the virus. So the plans were that, you know, basically, well, if you're going to open up the school, you've got to have testing. If you're going to have all these students coming in, you need to at least test them at the beginning and find out who's infected and make sure they're not going to school and they're in quarantine. And
right.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Right. How are you going to test them? They can't test the people that are symptomatic. The lines are weak. The lines, you can't get tested. And then when you do get tested, it takes a week to get the results. So how are you going to use the testing? Even if you can do the test, you don't know the results for a week. What are you going to do with the student for a week? You don't know who's positive. You're going to tell everybody, well, we're going to test you and everybody go home for a week. And then when we get the results, you guys can come back. Is that the plan? They have no plan. They don't have testing. They don't have PPEs. I mean, if the students are all going to come to class, what are the teachers going to wear? If they're going to go and be doing these testing, where are all the PPEs to do the testing? There are zero plans. They ask Pence, well, you know, what's the plan here? How are you going to implement this? And he says, well, the schools will do what's best for the students. He has no plan. There is zero plan. There is zero money. There is just Trump with his big mouth saying, well, you all have to, you know, every school has to be open. They all have to be open. And, you know, if they're not open, you know, I'm going to consider, withholding funds. They aren't his funds. He has nothing to do with funding the schools. That's done by Congress. He has no control over that money. He has no authorization to withhold funds. He's not offering to do anything to help out. He's not saying, well, we really have to do testing. We got X amount of dollars to go ahead and do testing. Or we really need to do testing. We've got X amount of tests that we're going to deliver to all the schools. He doesn't have the test. He doesn't offer the money. And there's, how many schools are there?
Yeah.
There is nothing set up to do anything. All he's got is a big mouth and a threat that nobody listens to him. Because
6 months. 6 months has gone by the board.
6 months to do what? Yeah, he was going to replenish things over the summer because you know, the virus disappears in August, in April. And, you know, then you got all these guys making predictions that it's going to be gone in 2 weeks and, you know, all kinds of nonsense. And now the virus is at an all-time high. They have shortage of PPEs. They've got shortage of test kits. They've got backlogs in test kits. And nobody's going to school. So if you're going to start all these kids going back to school in August in 3 to 4 weeks, how are you going to test any of them? Who's going to do the testing? Where are the PPEs? What lab is going to actually generate the results? He has no plans, zero plans. And then he's telling the colleges, well, if you're going to just have online, and that's what some of the plans are. Some of the plans are they're just going to be online. Other ones, the other schools are sending out questionnaires to the parents and say, well, here's your choice. Do you want your child to just stay home and do everything online? Do you want them to come to class? If they do in class, they have to limit the number of students in the building at any given time, so that they'll be coming to class 2 or 3 days a week. They'll be staggered. They're going to move the schedule around so everybody doesn't start and stop at the same time.
They may be staggering, all right. Some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, these are the plants. So the schools know when their school season starts. They know that they have to come up with some type of plan to have some type of chance. And they got Betsy DeVos saying, oh, you have to do it this way. And you got Trump saying, everybody has to be open. We're going to deport the students and we're going to withhold the funds. And it's crazy. It's absolutely absurd. And the current status is that we're in a good place. That's what is.
That was the expression. You're right. That was it. We're in a good place.
That was his assessment of the situation. And so Tony Fauci wasn't there today. but he's on the air. He's on the air. He's not. Basically, at the White House or over there having these.
No.
And he's saying that there's a problem. That the virus is growing exponentially. That you had 20,000 cases a day a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And now you got 40 to 50. In reality, you've got 60. So he said that the number of cases has doubled in the last couple of weeks. That's exponential growth. When the virus is starting to spread exponentially, you have to think about a lockdown. You have to get the virus under control. The virus is out of control. And the population centers are larger. The number of people that are in Texas, Florida, Arizona, and California is more than twice, even without California. Is more than twice the population in New York. You've got a bigger population base. Mm-hmm. The virus is spread out throughout these states. It's not just in one city. And the positive rates are either at or approaching what happened with New York. And there's no flattening of the curve. I mean, other than take a couple of days on a holiday. But other than that, there's no indication that this is slowing down. And even if it slowed down at this level, it wouldn't be sustainable even at this level because they're stretched to the limits right now. And with the people, the ICUs are full. There were 40 hospitals in Florida that have no beds. You know, Florida finally released what the status was of the various hospitals and how many ICU beds were available. And I think 41 of them had zero. out of a fairly large number. I think there were over 300 hospitals.
No, it was over 40. 41, over 40. I forget, but it was over 40 had none.
And I mean, that wasn't all. I mean, that was maybe 10% of the hospitals had zero beds. And so that's what the situation is. The situation is almost, bad. Yeah. I mean, those states, if I read you the list of those states that how many had over 400, cases, and I did this, two or 3 weeks ago, there wouldn't be 32. There'd be, 10. The numbers are going up across the board. Now, all those states with 400 or more aren't as dire as some of the states in the South or the biggest ones that are cited. Mm-hmm. But they're getting bigger. They've moved up to this level. So once it gets up to the level of 400, then in a week or two, they're going to be pushing 1,000. And the ones that are 1,000 are going to be pushing 2,000 or 3,000. And the ones that are 3,000 are going to be pushing 5,000 to 7,000. And the ones that are 10,000 are probably going to stay there because they don't have the tests to test enough to account for the increase in the cases. So their percentage will go higher, but the actual cases won't, because they don't have enough tests to actually run higher numbers.
That's been the backbone of Trump's entire approach from the beginning, is to keep testing down. Nothing new.
Right.
By the way, I got a note from someone who apparently knows somebody who's involved in the mask-making industry, the professional N95 end of it. And there is some special material they use in the masks that apparently is in short supply. That's part of the problem. But guess where the material comes from that is in short supply?
China. That's I'm sure it's China.
Sure. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And the problem is that it's not just the U.S. I mean, you got the guy who's infected down in Brazil, and he's kind of, you know, patterning his activity after Trump. So, you know, they're number two in
the
world.
Oh, did you hear the funniest part of all today? He was feeling awful, he said, and then he took one of Trump's hydroxychloroquine, and he said, I quote, I felt much better.
Yeah,
what he said.
Was he feeling it? Yeah. I believe that's what he said. But I mean, they've got this whole inventory. Brazil and the U.S. They've got millions of dollars worth of this, so they're trying to peddle it. I mean, this is snake oil. I mean, they did have one trial. It wasn't a blinded, you know, double blind type of trial. They basically just kind of grouped up one group or the other group, and they saw a benefit from the way they grouped them. But, you know, biases go into those types of groupings, so that's not how you really run a clinical trial. You randomize it, you do it blind, and then you decide who benefited and who didn't benefit, and then you unblind it and find out whether there was a difference. You don't do it as you go along and come up with this. So I mean, there was one trial up in Michigan, Henry Ford Hospital or something, and they were showing some benefit from the hydroxychloroquine. But it's not really clear that would work in a double blind. There hasn't been any double blind experiments that have shown a benefit yet. And there have been several that didn't show any, and some that were kind of terminated because of all the heart irregularities. But, along the lines of some of the additional problems, and that's the other thing Fauci was saying, don't just, you know, cite the lower death rate. And he didn't even go into the fact that the lower death rate is just because they got younger cases initially and the death rate's going to go up. He said that the virus does a lot of additional problems. And it's a new virus, and they don't know. And, you know, one of the physicians that was, I think, in New York and was doing autopsies on fatal cases to get a better idea of what the virus does. And and what they saw was that, they got evidence of the virus going into the brain, and that it's going into the brain via the blood vessels, and that's what's leading to the loss of taste and smell. And that's, you know, an example of where the virus is going and what the results are of the virus. And so that gives you an idea. I mean, this virus is going into patients' brains, and it's affecting the nerve senses enough.
We don't know if it's long-term or short-term, but it's definitely neurological in its damage.
And it's attacking the kidneys, and it's attacking the heart, and it's, you know, obviously attacking the lungs. And, you know, none of that's a surprise. It's got that poly basic cleavage that's in all the strains.
Has any other coronavirus had a poly like this one that you know of?
No, not a coronavirus. They have that influenza, avian influenza. They have that in Newcastle disease. They've got polybasic cleavage sites, and the results are So this is
what we've been saying for many months. This is a key development in this virus, this particular family of viruses. We've not seen this before. That's why this virus is so damn difficult. This is a bad one because of that polybasic cleavage site.
Right. So it can go and infect because that kind, and the receptor is widespread. So the ACE2 receptor is also widely expressed. So that's what the virus needs. It needs that protease. It needs a furin, which recognizes this polybasic cleavage site, and it needs an ACE2 receptor. And furin is very widespread. It's on a lot of different cell types, and it's at high levels. And the receptor is fairly widespread. So the virus it's got the two components that are required for it to enter that cell type. And so it gets in the blood vessels, and they have the clotting issues, and it gets into these other organs. And that's why it's all new. So the idea that, don't worry about the children, not many of them die, doesn't mean that they aren't affected. And it doesn't mean they can't transmit it. And they asked Brooks, or whatever her name is, Deborah.
Debbie Birx.
Birx, yeah. And they said, well, what's known about children as far as how well they get the virus? You know what her answer is?
What?
We don't really know. We haven't really studied children that much.
So
that's what the story is. I mean, there are a lot of unknowns. And Trump's going to, Dr. Trump is saying, children's not a problem. Very, very few die. They can go to school. It's not going to be an issue. He doesn't talk about them bringing the virus home and what happens to parents or grandparents and what happens when the virus starts, running through the schools. I mean, there wasn't that much experimenting with the schools because the schools all shut down very, very quickly.
Donald does not understand the basic, simple transmission dynamics of a communicable virus. He doesn't get it. He doesn't
get it, and he doesn't care. All he's worried about is how this is going to affect the economy and how he can past this and move forward. Right. And he wants to go ahead and thinks that the economy will come back with the virus at record levels. And it just doesn't work that way. Because once school starts, a lot of schools will give this a try. They'll go ahead and open up and the students will go there and they'll be flying blind, just like the U.S. was in the spring. They don't know who's infected. They don't know which asymptomatic people have the virus. They don't have any way to identify who should be quarantined. And it's just going to spread. They can put up plexiglass. They can cut down the density of the students. They want them to bring their own food so they don't have to go in the cafeterias. They want to try to get rid of that. And, that's not necessarily going to work that well because a lot of these kids basically get their meals at the cafeteria. I mean, that's part of their food program, supplement program. A lot of these things work on paper, but they do have issues, and in all likelihood, if they offer the online classes, most of which I think will, they'll get a lot of students initially out for that, and then as they realize that the virus is all over the place and it's not being controlled at the school, more and more will go to that, or the school will just throw up their hands and do it, because either A, the parents won't let their kids go to school, or B, the teachers won't want to go to school. And they'll say, well, we'll go to school if we can wear PPEs, or we'll go to school as long as everybody's screened so we know how much virus it is before it starts. And they can't do either of those. They don't have the PPEs. They don't have the kits. And even if they got the kits, they got to wait a week to get the results. So the, you know, doing the test and waiting for a week is not the way to do it. And look at the sports teams. I mean, the sports teams, they're trying to get, you know, baseball off the ground. They're trying various, you know, sports where everything is controlled. They get tested every other day. They're at a close environment, and they keep getting positives, and they keep running into problems. And this is on a very controlled basis with a very limited number of people. When you have a school, even if only half the kids are there, that's going to be a whole lot more than you have density wise for these sports teams. And there are tens of thousands of schools. They're going to be all over the place, and they're going to make news because they're going to find out, oh, you know, they got 20 students here, or all of a sudden this whole classroom is under quarantine now, and they're going to do the same thing.
Well, see, there's
the
story right there. You got a school with a dozen elementary school classrooms in it. It would only take a dozen students, and they're all in quarantine. The whole school's in quarantine.
Right.
One per class.
And,
I mean, that's theoretical,
right.
But
and there's then the alternative is to do it online, and they've already done that once before. So they already know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what's going to happen is that they're going to say this, you know, this doesn't work. The only way we can do it, at least for now, is to do an online version. And if we want to do, you know, have students in class, we have to be able to test. We have to know who's positive going in. We can't have a whole bunch of students that are asymptomatic in spreading the virus and knowing who they are. And it's just going to be, you know, this petri dish. Your school's going to be a petri dish. You're going to have these people coming in. And, you know, the virus is in something like 1% of the population. So if you got a school body of 1,000, on day one, there's going to be 10 people walking in the door that have the virus.
If you can test them,
you can control it. If you can't test them,
but we got no quick turnaround tests except for the antibody tests, which are worthless.
Well, the antibody tests aren't going to tell you whether they're infectious now anyway. The antibody tests aren't what happened in the past. It just said that, you know, this person had been infected, whether they've got enough antibodies so they aren't going to get infected going forward. They don't know. They don't know what titer it takes to have immunity and protection. So they're not set up at all. And even if it was lower levels, you know, they would have the issue where they're not set up. Now that they're at these high levels and that everything is backed up, they're in no position to all of a sudden open up all the schools and start flooding the testing centers with literally millions of tests.
I don't know why he doesn't just stumble along and tell the truth. We are going to open the schools. We know we're going to have infections. We're going to have quarantines. But I'm the president. I approve of the efforts that Sweden has made to deal with it. And that's the path I've chosen but he won't say that even. Yeah. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Yeah. It's all playing games, all of it.
Well, hold it. You didn't hear what he did say.
No, I don't listen.
The CDC has guidelines for opening up the schools, okay?
Yeah.
So he, and some of the things are the things I mentioned, you know, to basically have them on shifts so they're not all there at the same time, offer online for some of the students so you don't have as many students going at a given time. Don't serve meals at the cafeteria. Have the students bring their own lunches. I don't know if they talked. They talked about opening the windows so you got air circulation. You know, they got all of these little odds and ends that they're going to help. You know, minimize the density. Oh, I think they probably said for everybody to wear masks. And so Trump looks at the guidelines from the CDC, and what do you think he says?
Go ahead.
He says, these are too tough.
Did he actually
so
say that?
They're too tough. These are too tough. We're going to write our own guidelines.
He and Debbie and Tony? I don't think so.
Right.
He's going to get Pompeo to do it. Or Jerry Kushner.
He's going to write his own set of guidelines. And then he's going to put these out. And he's going to say, this is what the schools should be following. Like, he has any clue what he's doing. The CDC knows what they're doing.
He's not going to write anything. He had to hire somebody to take his SAT test, for God's sake.
He's got to have his task force writer or somebody. You know, he's got people that will do things for him. But it's not that what he does is going to be worth anything.
Jerry and the Princess, they'll write to serve the master. So whatever he wants, they'll write.
So, in any event, that's his solution. This is the same thing like the warrior story. So now he's going to battle the virus. He's at a war. Mm-hmm. He's at war with the virus. And now the students, all the American families are going to give up their children to be warriors against the virus. But when they're warriors against the virus and Trump is involved, they're warriors for the virus. They're just like his rallies. He has his rallies. People come without masks.
Very good point. They're
not warriors for him. They facilitate the spread of the virus. And the students are going to be the same thing. They're going to go into school. They're going to spread the virus, and they're going to bring the virus out of school and spread it all over the place. And so they're essentially the virus's warriors. And speaking of which, guess who's got a major outbreak now that all of a sudden just recently exploded? Tulsa. And they said,
I saw that today.
Well, yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
So now his rally has got a big outbreak in Tulsa because of his rally, and he wants to do that. Now he wants to go do one in New Hampshire, except that one will be outside in an airport hangar or something. I've got to see exactly how this one is going to be set up, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see how packed in these people are.
I'm sure they'll all be 6 feet apart, so not to worry.
So, like I said, he's simply a toxic waste dump. He's a traveling toxic waste dump. He wants to do more of these rallies. And hold it, he's having the convention. He's got to give his speech in Florida. He's already got 5 GOP senators who said they're not coming. So that's already 10% of the senators are already on record that they're not going to the convention. So this is just the beginning.
You're talking about Jacksonville in the in late next month at the end of the Republican convention.
Right. And 5 Republican senators say they are not attending the convention. They're on record. It's not going to be
going. Well, wait and see. Wait and see.
It's going to be pretty amusing.
The Democrat convention is coming up in four or five weeks now. That's it.
Right. And they have no plans to put a whole bunch of people in one place. They're going to do all this thing at a distance. They'll have some people there. They'll all be wearing masks. They'll be spread out. And most of it will be online. My guess is Trump may end up in that position. Because, I mean, Jacksonville won't allow him to do whatever he wants to do. I mean, they're gonna have a major, they already have a major outbreak there. He's just going to make it that much worse.
That's
so
true.
I think he's already realizing that the, whenever, end of August.
Shakespeare. I'm telling you, this is a tragic comic Shakespearean. Oh, the whole thing is
By then, they'll have all these reports of these outbreaks in schools, and they're going to have to shut them down by the end of August. They're going to open up at the beginning of August.
It's
takes about two weeks or so.
Indescribable.
Well, it probably takes 3 or 4 because they can't get the test results. So they'll have suspect cases, but they can't really say for sure.
Thank you, Henry.
We'll hit it again tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll probably break today's record. It'll be 60-something thousand, and we'll be just in a good place. Okay, take care. Stay safe.
All right. Good night. Oh my. Okay, gang. Thanks a lot. Be back tomorrow. It's really something to watch. Talk soon. Be well. Take good care.